To speak to you again today. For us, he's recovering for some minor surgery, so he asked if I would fill in for him until he was feeling a little bit better. So, I'd just like to ask you a question today about what's the most famous verse in the Bible. The slide may give you a clue, and the scripture reading probably gave you a clue. So, whenever you see these verses, generally, your mind immediately goes to John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And it just kind of caused me to wonder whenever I was thinking about that verse. That a lot of times the only verse that people could really quote, that one in John 11:35. Y'all know that one. Jesus wept. That's probably about the only two verses that a lot of the people in the world can recite. But I was thinking, what other truths and important scriptures might be in chapter 3 and verse 16 of the other books of the New Testament? If you were just going to pick out scriptures arbitrarily, what might you find if you decided to look in the other books? One's in chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, first of all, there's no significance to these chapters and verses. These were just human devices that were put in to help us find things. Each book was originally just one long page. In fact, the epistles were all letters that were written. You don't usually put chapter markings in your letters or anything, but we did later on just so that we could quickly identify where to go to reference things. So these numbers are completely arbitrary. So there's nothing that would identify chapter 3 and verse 16 of any verse as being anything of particular interest. But I would just like to just kind of peruse and see what's in those particular verses. What I found was that they kind of separate themselves into three logical categories. So this first group is just talking about the person of Jesus, who Jesus is. In Luke, we read that John the Baptist is talking about the coming of the Messiah and the importance of baptism in the water and in the Spirit. So that's a fairly important verse too, because the coming of the Messiah was something that had been looked forward to for a long time. And so it's something that's very important. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says that whenever we turn to Jesus, the mysteries of salvation are revealed. And that's important, too, because the salvation of the Gentiles was something that was considered a mystery. It was something, and whenever you see the mystery of the gospel, a lot of times that's what it's referring to. Even though that there were verses in the Old Testament that mentioned that the Gentiles would be able to participate in the gospel as well as the Jews, it wasn't something that a lot of people thought about. And so it was big news in the New Testament. They had a whole council in Jerusalem about the Jews being allowed to start accepting the gospel after Peter went and baptized Cornelius and his family. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, we actually get a whole short summary of the gospel in there. And it says, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, and was believed on the world, in the world, taken up in glory. Amen. So it's kind of a whole short summary of the gospel. If you just took a snippet, this is probably one of the best descriptions of Jesus' life and work and who he was, all in any one verse of the Bible. So in one sense, this is just as powerful as chapter 3, verse 16 of John. So this one would be a good candidate if you were going to have another important verse to remember. Okay, a lot of the references talk about what Jesus did. If you go through the different books of the New Testament, you see that what Jesus did a lot of different things while he was on earth, and there was some significance to the things that he did. So starting off in Matthew, what we read is that Jesus was baptized. Mm-hmm. or chapter 3, verse 16, talks about Jesus' baptism. This is the example that we had for our baptism today. In Mark 3:16, he was calling the apostles. He was called, and specifically, verse 16 is where he's calling Peter, whom a lot of people consider to be the most important apostle. I'm not sure there was a rank order to them, but Peter was definitely involved in just about everything that happened. So if they were going to have a leader of the apostles, that's probably who they would have elected. If you look at Romans chapter 3:16, it says that without Jesus, we are doomed to destruction and misery. And that's exactly right. It's right on target. And then in Galatians, we see that Jesus came to us as the Messiah, as one of Abraham's descendants, just as he promised, setting us free from the law of Moses. So, another very important verse, because this is one of the key things that Jesus did. Russ has just been giving us a series of lessons on the significance of the cross and what it has meant to us. And setting us free from the law of Moses is one of those most important things that it did. And then in 2 Thessalonians, we read that the Lord is with us and gives us peace. Something very important. Okay. Whenever we get to 1 John 3:16, another very important verse. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Once again, if you're going to talk about Christian living and about what Jesus did for us and how that affects what we should do, this is probably one of the key verses, and I know I've referenced it a lot in sermons and Bible classes. But all of the rest of the books of the New Testament, in chapter 3, verse 16, really are just talking about Christian living, how we should live our lives. For example, in Acts, the importance of faith is brought out in the healing of the lame man. In 1 Corinthians, this is the very famous verse that says that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God is inside you. This is the catch-all verse that we use to talk about all the things that are bad for us and how we shouldn't do them. For people to say that everything else is a sin that's bad for you, this is the key verse that they always go to whenever they go to a fellowship meal and eat too much. Don't forget, you're the temple of God. So save those cookies for me. In Ephesians, Paul's praying that we'll be strengthened through the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember that the Holy Spirit is what gives us the power to do the things that we need to do. The one that gives us the strength that we have to go through and carry the gospel everywhere that we're going. In Philippians, Paul's reminding us that although we have the hope of salvation, we don't yet have it. He says, I've done a lot of good things for Jesus, but I'm not saved yet. He's like, it's not something that I've already achieved, but it's still something that I'm hoping for. What he's saying is, no matter what you do and who you are, if you don't keep your faith in Jesus, you can lose that hope of salvation. But this is not something where you can retire from being a Christian. You're a Christian up until the day that you die. And so you need to keep that in mind, because it is a gift that you can lose. Okay. If we go to Colossians, we read that the Word of God brings us wisdom. We read a lot about the wisdom of God in the Scriptures. A lot of people, when they hear wisdom, they think about the Old Testament books of Proverbs and some of those, but there's wisdom to be found in almost every verse that you look at. And then finally, we get to 2 Timothy, another very important verse, chapter 3, verse 16. And it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. In the older versions, it says inspired of God. And that's significant, but in the NIV, they actually changed it to read what the original Greek said in there, and that was that God breathed these words. And so, we keep in mind when we're reading Scriptures that this is actually the Word of God that we're reading. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is where we get all the training that we have on how to be a Christian, is from these Scriptures. If we go to Hebrews, chapter 3:16, we read about the Israelites being rebellious after they left Egypt. And that reminds us that we're rebellious to God constantly. We don't mean to be. It's just our nature. It's who we are. We tend to, to forget to do things that we're not supposed to do, not do things that we are supposed to do. And this verse helps keep us humble, because we read about the Israelites after they left Egypt, and we read, how could they turn away from a God that has just led them through the Red Sea? They saw that mighty miracle there, and then they start to doubt God. But we have all of those proofs and those same things that we know about today, and yet we do the same things from time to time. James says that envy and self-centeredness lead to confusion and evil. In chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Peter 3:16 says that if we do what's right, no one will be able to slander us. They say, if you just do what you're supposed to do, then you don't have to worry about what other people do or what other people say, because nobody will believe it, because they know who you are. And that means a lot. Sometimes when people make accusations about us, we think, well, everybody believes them. But if you're not the kind of person that lives that kind of life, people aren't going to believe you if somebody's trying to say things about you that aren't true. In 2 Peter 3:16, we read that although some of the things that Paul writes are difficult to understand, and they're sometimes used incorrectly by false teachers, that they are scripture. I've had people tell me, well, that book wasn't written, it was written by Paul. He wasn't one of the original apostles. So how can you take that as scripture? And that's because Peter, who was one of the original apostles, said they were scripture. He specifically said the writings of Paul are scripture. And so we can use those and follow them, just like we would any of the other writings in the Bible. And finally, in the book of Revelation, we read that we can't be lukewarm as Christians. That we need to be all in or all out. That's what God expects us. And we had the series recently about being not a fan, being a follower. Because that's what Jesus expects from us. So all of these verses are important. And they give a very nice cross-section of the whole Bible. But they're not the whole Bible. And that's the key. And anytime you focus on one verse, whether it's John 3:16 or any of the other critical verses that we read here, because a lot of these were pivotal verses, verses we use all the time that form a lot of the foundation of our scripture, they don't give us the entire picture. There's a lot of things that they leave out. We have to read the entire Bible because these scriptures don't talk about why he created us, about what he expects from us. They don't really talk too much about the hope that we have and what we expect to receive. So we have to read the entire Bible and take all of these in context. Sometimes if we read a verse and we just single out a particular verse, it sounds like it's telling us something. But if we read it in the context of the chapter, of the whole book, and of the whole Bible, we find out we didn't really get the right idea from that message. So we have to take everything that we read in the Bible in context. And to do that, we need to focus on reading the entire Bible. Not just reading it, but studying it, trying to understand it, because these are the instructions that God left for us. So that these are what we have to use as our standard before we get called up to meet God face to face. This is how we're going to be evaluated, is based on the standard that he set.
Amen.
So we need to read the Bible from cover to cover, but we need to focus in on the things that he's telling us that are key to our salvation. And those are the things that sometimes get left out. Because sometimes we do tend to just focus on our favorite verses, on the ones that prove the point that we're trying to make. So many times, if we have a disagreement about the Bible, we go searching through it, looking for scriptures to support our position, instead of going through and searching the scriptures and finding out what they say, whether it supports our position or somebody else's position. And our goal as the shepherds of the congregation is to make sure that all of you know the message of the Bible. to make sure that you know what the will of God is for your life.
Yeah.
That's our primary purpose as shepherds, is to make sure that you keep that focus in your life. That you not only know the word, but that you know how it applies to you and the things that you need to do each day as a Christian. Not that you're working your way to heaven, but the things that you need to do because you are a Christian, because you've placed your faith in Jesus. And this is what you need to do to be a follower and not just a fan. So I invite you this morning to think through. Have you been studying your Bible? Maybe you remember a few of these key verses that we talked about. And so you think, well, I know my Bible. I remember a lot of those verses. But have you been studying the whole Bible? You've been studying the message that God has left for you, the whole message, including the parts that maybe we don't really like to read all that much because they step on our toes. It's easy to read the parts that apply to other people. And when we read a verse, we think, wish that person in the congregation would read that verse. But we need to read them and think about how they apply to us. What message can we take away? Read the verses that talk about the things that you're doing, and not just the things that other people are doing. You're going to have an opportunity this morning. We plan to keep you long because it's hard to compete with food and smell of food. So I wanted to go ahead and break perhaps a little bit earlier than usual. But I do want you to think about the message of the gospel, and of the New Testament specifically that we pull these verses from. And don't focus on a single verse on John 3:16, but take the whole message in context. If you have something going on in your life this morning and you need the prayers of the church to combat the problems that you're having, to win the war against Satan, you're going to have an opportunity to do that this morning. And if you have never become a Christian, if you haven't become part of God's kingdom, then you've got an opportunity this morning as well to come forward and be baptized into Christ, to repent of your sins, to wash away those sins, and to start living a new life that God would like for you to lead. So whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song.